Good morning. This is Tommy Ray, and we're in episode 64 of Water Rights, Laws, Guns, and Money. Today is January 27, 2023. So we're fortunate today to be talking to Bill Berg with Martin & Wood Water Consultants. They do both groundwater and surface water evaluations and have a significant client base. Before I let Bill talk, I just want to mention that I do have experience with Martin & Wood. And one of the things I like about working with professional firms and professional firms that I choose, I want a professional firm that is first competent, but also fun to work with. And Martin & Wood is that. So, Bill, I'll ask you to describe Martin & Wood just a little bit. Give us, you know, a minute synopsis of who you guys are and what we do, and then we'll go into your area of special expertise.
Martin & Wood has been around since, I believe, 1991. It was founded by Joetam Wood and Phil Martin. We are a water rights and water supply firm. Do both surface water and groundwater work. We have a group of surface water engineers and a group of geologists and hydrogeologists.
So how many people are here?
Currently, we are nine people.
Nine people. Okay, so you're a small sort of a boutique firm. I'm not going to ask you to name any of your clients, but when I started working with Martin & Wood, which has been now at least about 10 years, right?
I think so, yeah.
I did check into their credentials and found that they were a first-class firm, and I found that to be true in working with them. I enjoy working with them. Now, Bill, today I really wanted to discuss...
And I want to make sure that we are nine people. Let's see.
Bill just corrected himself and said they only have eight people. Maybe if we include the accountant. We're up to nine, but that doesn't matter. It's a small boutique firm, and Bill is a hydrogeologist and does a lot of augmentation work. So what the hell is augmentation? Bill, before I let you talk about that, I did in an earlier episode go down to the San Luis Valley, and they have a big, what they call, augmentation plan there. Their augmentation is very simple. They take water from a reservoir and release to the Rio Grande River so that others own downstream can take water out of the river and keep the river whole. But augmentation up here in the South Platte River Basin is significantly different. Again, it's a hard concept to grasp. Bill, let me let you start, and then I'll jump in when I have questions.
Tommy, it's the same premise. Augmentation is when you are depleting the stream system and you have to replace your depletions. And so you need to have a water source to replace the depletions that your use has caused. That can be from a number of sources, but
the main source of depletions in this area is groundwater wells. That's really what I want to eventually get around to talking about, is when you drill a well that might be 3 or 4 miles away from the Platte River, at first there might not be an impact to the Platte River, but eventually the cone of depression of you taking water out through your well causes a depletion to the river. Is that correct? Is that the right way to say it?
Well, that's true. Colorado water law dictates that you need to replace your depletions in time, place, and amount. So,
well, we better talk about what a depletion is first.
Right. So if you pump a well, it takes time for the impacts of pumping the well to travel through groundwater and the porous media that groundwater is in to travel and reach the stream system. If you're pumping a well, let's just say you pump a tenth of an acre foot a year, that tenth of an acre foot of a year might take 10 years to fully hit the river. So it takes time for it to hit the river. And that's where a company like ours comes into play, where we do the timing aspects of that so that the replacement source can be delivered to the river at the right amount, at the right time, in the right place.
Okay, so we're talking about tributary wells.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And tributary wells typically are a little more shallow than non-tributary. Now, I said typically. When you talk to an engineer, he wants to be specific. We're talking in generalities here, Bill. As I've always said in my podcast, I'm trying to get to within plus or minus 20%, 10% of the truth. It's just to give the listener a feeling for what a depletion is. A depletion comes about because the well is withdrawing water from the aquifer, which would normally flow into the river. And that withdrawal of water eventually will lower the amount of water that the aquifer is contributing to the river. Is that a right way to say it?
You're close, Tommy.
Okay. That's why I'm asking you, man.
So a river is the surface expression of the groundwater aquifer.
The river is a what?
The surface expression of the groundwater aquifer. Of the alluvial aquifer. If there are a whole bunch of wells alongside of the river and they're all pumping really hard, they could draw the river down enough so that you wouldn't see the river anymore, but there would still be water in the unconsolidated deposits, which are sands and gravels typically in a river system, below the bottom of the river. The aquifer is still there. You just don't see it in the river anymore, and that's what the laws of Colorado are trying to prevent, is wells depleting the river such that surface water is not available for other surface water rights holders who are more senior or have higher priority water rights.
Yes.
Who are entitled to that water before a more junior priority water well would have.
I've not personally seen this, but I've seen it on videos and stuff where the river might be running for a while, and then it disappears, and then 2 miles on down, the river appears again. And that's because exactly what you're talking about, the river suddenly has gone down below the bottom of the riverbed and is continuing to travel through those sand and gravels, and then it reappears.
And that's due to changes in bedrock topography and surface topography. If there's a deeper part of the aquifer, then and there's not much flow in the river, then you won't see the surface flow until the bedrock topography is higher, and that forces the water to come up again, and then the surface flow will resume.
Okay. So I think the listener can understand that. So back to a typical well that might be a mile or 3 miles from the river, that's in that same alluvium that the river is in. If you pump that well, eventually it's going to have an impact on the amount of water in the river because you're withdrawing it out of the well.
Yeah, wells create what's called a drawdown cone. As wells extract water, it pulls water out of the aquifer, and that propagates to the river, and the river then is going to be supplying some portion of water to that well pumping. And so the idea of an augmentation plan is you're replacing the impacts of that well pumping back to the river so that other water rights holders are fully satisfied.
And you have to replace that impact both in time and quantity. Is that correct?
Time, place, and amount.
Time, place, and amount.
Yep.
And that's what a hydrogeologist like Bill is trained and is able to do, is figure out what those impacts are And then I guess you help your clients find a source of water upstream that they could put in the river so that time, place, and amount would be leveled out to what it would have been had the well not been there.
Ideally, yes.
Ideally, yes. So I hope everyone understands the concept of augmentation, and that is that you're replacing the what are called depletions, because the well is depleting the water. You're replacing those depletions with an upstream source of water, right? Is that
kind ideally? If there is enough water available in the stream system to satisfy water rights between the replacement source and the point of depletion that is upstream, you can run what's called an exchange.
Okay.
And that's an upper level discussion.
That's hydrogeology 2.0 or something.
Well, that's also surface water engineering 3.0.
Okay. Okay. So it gets very complicated. So one other concept that I'm still hazy on, and maybe you can help clear the fog here for me, is that sometimes, at least I've been told this, if you have a well that's producing, say, 500 gallons a minute, and it's upstream, you might not have to augment all 500. In other words, you might not have to do a one-for-one replacement. It might be that the depletions are only 25% of what you're pumping. Am I correct in that?
Those are called delayed depletions, Tanner.
All right.
And that's because it takes time for the effects of pumping to propagate to the river. Think of it like if you're at a pond, there's no wind, and you take a pebble and you throw it out in the middle of a pond, and you get those
ripples,
rings that propagate out from where the rock went in. Well, that's what happens with pumping. Those rings propagate out, and so they hit the river at different times depending on the distance you are from the river.
Yep. Do you, and some of these augmentation plans, I assume, if they continue to pump, could go on for 100 years. I mean, the state would say, look, if you're going to pump for 100 years, yes, because it's 10 years before you see the first impact of the river, you don't have to start putting water in the river to replace those depletions for 10 years. But then you're going to have to replace them for the next 100 years. Is that kind of the way that works?
That's right, Tommy. In fact, I'm involved in projects where the delayed depletions extend for hundreds of years.
Really?
Yes.
So someone's going to have to replace those delayed depletions?
That's right.
Okay.
So you need a replacement source that is available to replace those depletions for the entire amount of time that those depletions occur.
And that could be years after you first start pumping.
Hundreds of years.
Who's going to keep those records?
The state.
The state's going to keep those records,
mm-hmm,
for supposedly 100 years or more.
Well, and it's required by Colorado law.
Okay.
And the owner of the augmentation plan has to keep the records and submit those to the state. And it's just required by their water rights decree that they have to replace those depletions. Now, there's lots of different variances and variants depending on if you're in a designated basin or not. And we can get deep into the weeds here. But
yeah, we don't want to get deep into the weeds. All right. That's great. So I think I understand a depletion. And that is when the water well pumping creates a deficit to the river. That's a depletion.
That's right.
Okay. Now there's another word we need to discuss, and that's accretions. You know what an accretion is, right?
It's the opposite of a depletion.
Ah, very good. So that means that, as I think I've learned from farmers that divert water through their canals that are not lined, those canals leak water back into the groundwater system. And then the farmers can claim that they're basically banking or accreting water to the groundwater table or the groundwater aquifer. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And so then they've accreted water, and the state, by the way, accounts for all this. I mean, I went to a meeting and I was absolutely floored that the women that were doing the accounting, it could be men, of course, but these two happened to be women, were accounting for all these accretions and depletions, and had this huge spreadsheet that they maintained from year to year. Wow.
That's common.
That's common. It's very complicated.
It is.
I don't think Wyoming gets that complicated.
I don't think so either.
I think Wyoming says, look, I don't know. I've done just a little bit of work in Wyoming and quickly realized Wyoming is not as, I'm going to use this word, is not as anal as Colorado.
Well, that's what happens when you have a state that only has 375,000 people.
I guess that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And
much less water demand.
Much less water demand.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're able to let slip. They don't have to do as tremendous amount of accounting as we do in Colorado. This is a great discussion, Bill, for me. And I hope the listeners are getting something out of it. What else do you want to say about augmentation? Anything?
I don't know what the direction of your podcast is, but the big problem in Colorado, or a big problem in Colorado with augmentation water, is often, can you find an augmentation water source?
Oh, yeah, upstream. It just doesn't exist, yes.
It just doesn't exist. Like Bear Creek, good luck. Turkey Creek, there's a few acre feet left. So if you want to do an augmentation plan in either of those two basins, you're running out of time. So the big challenge is first finding water. Can you find augmentation water? And then the bigger challenge is, can you get that water to where you need it? And that's where you get into exchanges.
Yeah.
Which is a much higher level discussion.
Yeah. I discussed in one of my very early episodes what an exchange was, but it's really complicated because you have to protect all the users between the original takeout point and the takeout point upstream.
Yeah, between your replacement source and your takeout point upstream.
Okay.
Everybody's got to be satisfied in between in order to run that exchange.
Okay, so one way to find an augmentation source might be to find a farm and take that farm out of production and take the consumptive use water that was there and store it somewhere.
That's right.
And then you could release that water to match your augmentation requirements. Is that correct?
That's correct. The problem with that process is it's a time-consumptive and expensive process.
Because you have to go to water court.
You have to go to water court.
And we're talking 3, 4, 5 years then, or maybe more. I don't know.
It depends on the size of your project.
Yep.
And how many people are going to get in your business.
Okay. This is fascinating, Bill. It's exactly what I wanted to talk about. It's complicated. It's time consuming. It's not an assured thing. You know, we're clearly water short in this state. And I have repeated over and over, and will say it again now. We're water short because we use too much water in agriculture. That's my firm belief. You don't want to go there because that could get you in political trouble. But I can go there because, you know, it's sort of like, you know, I had a friend of mine once that was a hard rock miner. And he used to tell me, he said, you know, the problem with gold mining is there's too dang much rock in it. And the trouble with water in the state of Colorado is there's too dang much agriculture in it, you know. And they, because of historical reasons, they were here first. They've got all the early rights, and they're raising crops in a semi-arid climate. Something's got to be done.
So, Tommy, that leads us into some of the creative solutions that are currently going on in Colorado and that we are working for in the future. Is how do we address the situation?
How do we what?
Address the situation where we've got an increasing human demand.
Generally in the cities, right?
Generally in the cities. And in my opinion, we're going to have decreasing water availability due to climate change. Droughts seem to be happening more often. We may have less water in the future. So how do we address that? Well, for augmentation plans, you use some creative things like municipal wastewater treatment plants. They can lease or sell their effluent, and that can be used for augmentation plants.
Okay, let's clarify that just a little bit, because they can lease or sell their consumptive use or imported water.
So when a city uses their water and you use it in your house, it goes back through the sewage system, it goes to the treatment plant, that discharges back to the river. A portion of that water is consumable and can be sold or leased to other entities to be used for their purposes.
Well, yes. If they have previously, through water court, brought into their potable water system consumptive use water.
That's right.
If they have a direct flow right out of the river that they take through their potable treatment plant, that goes through the sewage treatment plant and cannot be reused or resold.
That's right. It has to be.
It either has to be
consumptive use.
Changed consumptive use or introduced water, which means Trans Mountain water.
And that's another entirely complex subject.
Bill, I love it. I love talking to you about this sort of stuff because I don't understand it. And I think my understanding is.
I mean, we could talk for a year on this.
I know. My understanding is about 10%, and your understanding is about 95%, but you still, I think, don't understand.
No, I wouldn't put myself anywhere near 95%.
Okay, it is complicated. But we were here. So let me go back to accretions. I know that a lot of the farmers account for the water that they take into their ditch system, which is not lined. It's just a dirt. And so the dirt, the water seeps out of that ditch into the nearest aquifer, which is typically sand and gravel because they're fairly close to the river. And they basically then tell the state, okay, we took water out of the river, but we stored it in our sand and gravel next to our ditch that we're going to use next year to pump in wells. Is that correct? Am I to pump to, so our wells can pump because we've accreted I get confused when I start talking about accretions. I mean, I think I understand that conceptually that you're putting water back into the river bank and you account for that so that you can use it either the following year or in subsequent years.
Well, that's storage.
Okay. That's not accretion?
No.
Huh?
When you divert off the river and you have a storage water right, you can store it in a reservoir.
Or in the bank? Or in the sand and gravel deposit? Is that what you're saying?
It has to be contained. You have to have dominion and control.
Ah.
So whether that's an exposed reservoir or underground storage, you have to maintain dominion and control of it. And if that water is decreed for augmentation use, then you can release that water back to the river when you need to replace your well pumping depletions.
If you have dominion and control. Now I understand the word control.
Dominion just means it's your water.
Okay.
You have the water right for it. So I've got a reservoir for 10,000 acre feet. I divert 10,000 acre feet into my reservoir. That's mine.
Okay. But I'm going to divert 10,000 acre feet into that reservoir, but only 9,000 reaches the reservoir because 1,000 seeped out of my dirt lined ditch, right?
You can get a water right decree to claim credit for your ditch loss that then accretes back to the river. And that is, as we talked about earlier, the opposite of a depletion. So there's a timing factor that's involved in that.
Okay. This has been a great conversation because it tells me if you're going to try to put in a well, you better be talking to a firm like Martin and Wood. And ask for Bill Berg personally. He'll figure all this out for you and solve all your problems. Right, Bill?
I'll do my best.
He'll do his best. Okay, well, let's stop. I think this has been great, and this is a pretty good stopping point. But one of the things, Bill, I would like to invite you to do and the other people here that work at Martin and Wood, sometime when it's not so dang cold, that you come to my favorite mountain stream and relax. Let's say thank you to Bill, and see you next time.
Thank you for having me, Tommy.
You're quite welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.